The following are excerpts of Radha Kund Parikram with His Holiness Srila Satsarup Das Goswami on December 4th, 1992, Vrindavan.
Not only in Vrindavan. There are some major holy places, like taking the whole place, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, Mayapur, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Then there are places like Ranga Kshetra, Bhadrika Ashram, and Allahabad, Prayag, where the Kumbh Mela is held, and so on. But of all the different holy places, the Mathura Vrindavan is the holiest. Because in the other places, there may be pastimes of Lord Vishnu or devotees of Vishnu, but especially Vrindavan is Krishna in his original Vrajalila. So, some of you went on the Braj Mandir Parikram, and you discovered so many places, so many pastimes. Also pastimes connected specifically with Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna and their pastimes together. So why is it that we say that this particular place, Radha Kund, is the most sacred of all the holy places in India and of all the holy places in Vrindavan? Does anybody know? Yes? Because here the only pastimes are Madhurya Ras. Some people, they may think that the holiest place is Barshana, where Srimati Radharani appeared, or Nandagram. So many activities of Krishna in Nandagram, where he grew up and where every day he took breakfast and played with the cows and was taken care of by his mother and father. But those are the rasas of Vatsalya, parental rasa, and the child of parental, and Krishna as a child, or Krishna with his friends. And when Ramananda Roy was discussing with Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy was asked, what is the perfection of religion and the means to reach it? So he mentioned one thing after another, and when he finally began to talk about prema bhakti, he began to talk about, he said, the perfection is the relationship with Krishna as servant. Lord Chaitanya said, speak something more. Then he said, the relationship with Krishna as friend. That's very good, but speak something more if you know something more. The relationship of Krishna as parent. That is very good. If you know anything more, speak something more. And then he said, the Madhurya relationship with Krishna. And there, Prabhupada explains that all the special qualities of all the different rasas, they're all contained in Madhurya. The servitor, the sweetness of being the servitor of the master, the intimacy of being the friend, the increased intimacy and affection of being the parent of Krishna. They're all, whatever sweetness is there, and intimacy and pleasure for Krishna and the devotees, it's all in Madhurya Rasa. Just as there are different degrees of sweetness, and this, from molasses to rock candy. So if you want to analyze it, as the Acharyas have, we understand why Madhurya is the sweetest. So here at Radha Kund, nothing else is allowed. There's no mixture. Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda mother, they never can come here. And except for some exceptional boys who are with Krishna in these conjugal pastimes, no boys can come here. And even those boys, they are not actually in the Madhurya Rasa. So it's only Krishna meeting Srimati Radharani, and in the afternoon, in the mid-afternoon, where they have their most intimate pastimes. So when you think of this, then we wonder, how can we come here? Or do we come here at all? Is it just superficial? In a sense, it is superficial, coming here, because we are superficial. And we only can perceive a very limited amount of things, the outer activities that we see with our senses. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Namaved Gaya Mingaya. You can't see Krishna with your blunt senses and mind. But Prabhupada has brought us And he encourages us by bringing us to Krishna consciousness. As he says, if the Westerners, people in general who weren't devotees, if they become devotees, must they stay non-devotees just because they were low-born? No, by chanting Hare Krishna, they can become devotees. And then if you become a devotee of Radha and Krishna, why should you not come to Radha Kund? So we are coming. It's not superficial in that sense. And if we pray and practice our devotional service, then we can repeatedly come here and we'll get to understand a little bit by bit, of the meaning of these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So I thought I would start here by reading about the origin of Radha Kund, Shyamakund, how they came about, so that there would be very beautiful lakes, and surrounding the lakes there would be kunjas for Krishna's play. So there's a story with how it began. I'll read from this Narayan Maharaj's account. After the pastime of killing Aristasura, Radha was talking, Krishna and Radharani were talking, and Radharani said that they didn't want to associate anymore with Krishna, and he certainly couldn't touch them anymore, because he was contaminated from killing a bull. The bull and the cow are sacred. So there's so many joking pastimes as ways to express their love and to increase their rasa. If everything was just very placid, the love would not be increased. So Radharani was acting contrary and said to Krishna that they could not have anything to do with him anymore. He was now contaminated. So Krishna acting as accepting, all right, I'm a contaminated person, but I will bathe in holy waters and then I will become free of this. So Krishna is not an ordinary person to go bathe in holy waters. He didn't also want to go away. Like when Lord Balaram, when he went to the holy places, it took him a long time. He went to so many places all over India and traveling there. So all that time he would be away from the gopis. Therefore, he didn't want to bother. And he stamped his heel into the ground around here. And by doing that, he then created a depression. And he called forth all the holy waters to come from the different places where they reside as personified deities. And you come here now, and I want to create a very nice kund, which I will bathe in, and I'll become free of contamination. So that was actually Shyamakund was made first from his heel. And all the waters came, and they made obeisances to Krishna. So the gopis could see. So you call Krishna contaminated, he's Bhagavan, all the holy waters are coming at his request. Now Krishna told the gopis, all right, now in their view he bathed, giving them pleasure and seeing Krishna bathing in his kund. And then he said, now I'm pure. Hearing this, Srimati Radharani told the gopis, we will make an even more beautiful kund. So she and the gopis began digging, and in a very short time a kund was dug by them. Krishna, seeing their kund, informed them that it was very nice, but there was no water in it. Better you fill your kund with water from mine. But Srimati Radharani said, no, this is not possible. Your kund is contaminated by your terrible killing of a cow. Then she got all her gopis to form a line and bring pure water from Manasa Gangi in thousands of pots. Krishna, not wishing to see even one bead of perspiration on Srimati Radharani's forehead, gave a signal to the leader of all the holy waters from the sacred places. This deity, with tears in his eyes and palms joined, together gave choice prayers to Srimati Radharani, explaining to her that he and all the sacred waters had come here to live by the stamp of Krishna's lotus foot. But now they could clearly see that their lives would be totally successful if they could come and live in her kund. This is, in other words, Shyamakund. The water of Shyamakund wants to go into the water of Radhakund so that Radharani doesn't have to have all her gopis working to get the water from Manasa Ganga. Srimati Radharani, smiling at her beloved Krishna from the corners of her eyes, accepted all the holy waters. So then the waters broke through the Radharani had already made a depression where all the gopis had dug. And now the water from Shamakund broke through and came and filled Radhakund. So Krishna said that that this kund now that she had made would be as dear to him as himself. And so they were very happy again together. And Radharani said, and I will also bathe in your kund. I will always come and bathe in your kund, and anyone who has devotion for this kund or who bathes here or who lives here is sure to become very dear to me. So connected to these two kunds, there are many kunjas that each of the principal gopis has a place. They're described in literatures like Govinda Lilamrita and Krishna Bhavinamrita. So some of them are all green, some of them are all golden, but depending on the mood and the color of the particular one of the Astasakis. And each one has a very special color and atmosphere. Krishna goes there at different times to be with those gopis. And some of the principal sakas, or boyfriends, they also have places. We can't see these places now. But this is part of unmanifest Vrindavan. Actually, it became so disappeared that when Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, no one, not even Vaishnava sadhus, were living here or knew that there was a place, Radhakund. And he discovered it. He knew the places. But they were just rice fields with a little water for Radhakund and some water for Shamakund. So he bathed in both those places in ecstasy, and people were amazed to see his ecstasy. In this way he revealed Radhakund and Shamakund. And it was a little later that Srila Raghunath Goswami, who lived here for 50 years or more, when he took up residence, he was the one who had the actual excavation done and filled up the water the way we see it now. By just desiring it, he was penniless, he couldn't do any construction, but he just desired it, and then a wealthy person was informed in his dreams that a great saintly person wants these waters filled. And so he came and did this for Raghunath Goswami. We can move on, and then we'll talk some more about I want to talk about Srila Raghunath Goswami living here, and I have something to read from Bhaktivinod Thakur about a work called Siddhi Lalasa. It tells about how a soul becomes liberated and is born as a gopi in Vrindavan and comes to live at Radhakund, and perhaps something else. So we can start walking, and perhaps the next secluded place we'll find will be, at least last time it was nice, at Janava's sitting place. So we'll go to Raghunath Goswami's samadhi and circumambulate there. So we'll read and talk a little bit about Raghunath Das Goswami. This is from the Bhakti Ratnakar. Bhakti Ratnakar, this fifth wave, tells about a parikram of Vrindavan that took place. The guide was Raghava Pandit, and the persons who went with him were Srila Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. So they came to Radhakund, and he was telling them about Raghunath Goswami. Day and night, Raghunath Das Goswami would live under a tree. He had no desire for a kutir. One day, Sanatan Goswami came from Vrindavan on his way to Gopal Bhatta's residence place. Going to take bath in the Manasapavana Ghat, he saw a tiger coming to the ghat for drinking water. As the tiger was returning to the forest, it passed very close to Sri Raghunath, who was sitting in meditation. If you noticed, if you looked inside the samadhi, there was a picture of that. After some time, when Raghunath finished his meditation, he looked around and saw that Sanatan had come for bath. Raghunath fell to the ground and paid his obeisances to Sanatan, who affectionately embraced him. So Sanatan Goswami, he said, that I think you should not just live outside under the tree. Please, let me build you some little cottage. And that was the start of this, what's now this system of Babaji's and devotees living in kutirs rather than just living outdoors. So Raghunath did it on the order of Sanatan Goswami. Then there's the story that Raghunath Goswami, his eating was practically nothing. Prabhupada said every other day he would take a little butter or buttermilk, and it's described that he would take yogurt during this time. So he had a friend named Das of Brajabasi, and Das used to want to serve Raghunath in any way, but it was hard to serve such a renounced person. So he saw that Raghunath Goswami was taking the yogurt in a particular leaf cup, rather small. So he thought, I know where I can get some bigger leaf cups, and then at least I can give him some more yogurt if that's all he's taking. So he went to Sakhi Stal village, and there he got a large leaf of a palash tree. And he thought, Raghunath Goswami, he won't eat any grains. He's going to get very weak. But at least I can give him a bigger cup. On seeing the new leaf cup, the Goswami inquired where the large leaf cup had come from. Das replied that he had gone to Sakhi Stali for herding cows, and finding the nice leaves there, he brought some back. So as soon as he heard the word Sakhi Stal, Raghunath Goswami became angry, and he took the leaf with the yogurt and he threw it away, and he wouldn't eat it. And he was too angry to speak. But after a while, he calmed himself, and he told his friend Das that don't ever go there again, or don't get anything for me from it. Don't you know that this is the Sakhi Stal is the place of Chandravali, who is the rival of Srimati Radharani? So this shows that Raghunath Goswami was so fixed in his bhajan. He existed externally as Raghunath Goswami, but in chanting and remembering Krishna's pastimes, he actually took up his activities as Rati Manjari, Gopi Manjari, serving Rupa Manjari, and directly serving Srimati Radharani. So they would never want to serve Radharani's rival or be connected with her. Now, during that pilgrimage of Raghavadas Pandit and the other two, they actually were able to meet Srila Raghunath Goswami. He was still living. After showing Srinivas and Narottam various other kuns and pastime places, he then took them to meet Sri Das Goswami. Sri Raghava Pandit offered an account of their activities to Das Goswami. Raghunath is sometimes called Das Goswami, who felt delighted in his heart. Srinivas and Narottam, with great respect, both fell down on the ground and offered obeisances to Das Goswami's feet. Das Goswami was delighted to meet Srinivas and Narottam. Although he was weak with old age, he stood up to embrace them and spoke something very softly to Srinivas. Krishnadas Kaviraj came there, and Srinivas and Narottam also offered their obeisances to him, and he reciprocated accordingly. So, but this is really satsang. Now we, as tiny aspiring devotees, we come and look at the picture and stand by the kutir, but they were actually all living here, and on that occasion, they met. To think of Narottam Das Thakur as just like a junior devotee, but he's to us the gateway to so many of the emotions by his songs. But he was there, and Srinivasacharya was there, and Raghunath Goswami was there, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was there. We'll go to their kutirs, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is a direct follower of Raghunath Goswami, and they were both in old age. But but Krishnadas Kaviraj, he came after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, whereas Raghunath Goswami, as a young boy, had met Lord Nityananda, Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Did I say Lord Nityananda? And then he became the direct disciple for personal care of Swarup Damodar. And then he came to Vrindavan and became like the son of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So Krishnadas Kaviraj missed all those great souls. But he didn't miss Raghunath Goswami. One is enough. So every day he would hear from him, and whatever he heard is what we have in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, along with the notes of Swarup Damodar Goswami, as well as the teachings of the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Jiva Goswami's conclusions from Satsandarbha, are all in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he personally heard the pastimes, especially, there's no other way to know the Antyalila pastimes, but he heard them from the eyewitness, Raghunath Goswami. We'll talk some more about Raghunath Goswami if we get a nice sitting place near his, near the Kutirs. Any more questions? Don't make them so technical, though. I'm not so good at knowing my technical things, but especially about these saintly persons and devotional service.
This is
Janava Ghat? Yeah. There are steps over there that are actually Janava's Ghat. They go right down to the water. This is connected with Lord Nityananda. Like this spot. I don't know so much more.
Possible to get to the stage
rather than the Westerners? Sure. The fact that we're Westerners doesn't mean we cannot go to the highest stage. We're not Westerners, we're not this body. But to the degree that we identify with this body, we can't go anywhere. When that devotee asked Prabhupada, can a woman, someone said the women can't make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Is it true? Like a woman? Prabhupada said, as long as you think that you're a woman, you cannot make advancement. So, and another devotee said to Prabhupada something about being in Vrindavan, thinking of Krishna. Is it the same as actually being in the spiritual world, Vrindavan? Prabhupada said, yes, but your mind is in America. So, if we identify with woman or man or some country in the West or so on, and we won't be able to. But if someone says, because you took birth, you, the conditioned soul in that Western body, in this lifetime, you cannot make advancement. And that's not true. The power of the holy name, the power of the Rasik Vaishnavas is such that a submissive person could make all advancement. But it's a fact that's difficult because of the sinful, the subtle impressions that are still there, the anarthas that are still there. Therefore, Prabhupada, knowing that we were so contaminated, has brought us gradually. But he was very, at the same time, confident and encouraging that we should go ahead and make all past the stage of just doing service mechanically because you're supposed to, or out of fear of God, or because you hate the suffering that you had experienced in material life, and that's why you do devotional service. Those are beginning motives. And then we have to go start doing it spontaneously and developing attraction for Krishna and hearing about Krishna. Then we'll be approaching that stage. Raghunuga Bhakti, what does it mean? It means that you start to be attracted to hearing about Krishna, specifically his pastimes in Vrindavan. And you want to always think in that way, and you want to follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis. And so if you're fortunate, then you can start hearing from someone who's experienced in that and read the books of the six Goswamis. But it all has to be based on the foundation of service. So call them Western devotees if you like. Western devotees who are working so hard to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement and sacrificing everything and preaching and bringing people to Krishna consciousness, don't you think they're becoming very dear to Krishna and dear to Prabhupada? So that they will have mercy, get his mercy. And then they'll, all that service will build up to the point where they'll become eligible to go higher and higher. As we came from the lowest stage, you're asking, is it possible to reach such a high stage? And it does seem impossible. But when you think of what we came from such a low stage, and what we've already done is such a great step. So if that happened in this lifetime, why couldn't the other happen? If miracles can happen once, they can happen twice and again. But you have to be greedy for more and more. Don't think, well, that's enough. And he's very special. Acharya. Srila Rupa Goswami, he's a Rasacharya. And he has not delved so much into analytic philosophy or presenting the Siddhanta, but the pastimes of Krishna and the mood of Madhurya Ras, especially in books like Ujjvala Nilamani and Stavamala. Whereas Srila Jiva Goswami, he's like proved the conclusions of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy so that if anybody did deviate in the future, it would be clear what is deviation. And other sects outside of Gaudiya Vaishnava could not criticize. He has established the philosophy. So Vishnu's Chakravarti Thakur, he's done both. He's most Rasik Acharya, but he's also presented things with all philosophical conclusions. Prabhupada turned heavily to his purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he produced. And then he's a necessary guide to go through the 10th canto with his purports. He's also Gopi Manjari in his inner identity. And so in his purports he always gives the viewpoint of the gopis. And gives us information that there would be no way that we could have it except from him. In other words, there were others who realized these things, but they didn't put it into writing, partly because it's so confidential. But he he just did it anyway. Has told all the secrets, or at least many of the secrets and the intimate dealings. And if he didn't, they wouldn't be existing in the world. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was considering telling some intimate pastimes, he also hesitated, and he has shared with the readers his hesitation. He says, I want to tell these things, but I don't want to tell secrets so that foolish and unqualified people will hear it. So what shall I do? Should I not tell? Or should I tell at the risk of committing some aparad and saying something I shouldn't? And then he had an idea. He said, I think what will happen is I will do it. And the foolish people, they will not be interested in it. They'll just think, oh, what is that? I don't want to hear about that. And those who are interested will hear. So with that idea, he went ahead. So that is one way to do it. That is one reason. And then just by the desire to say these things, to give these revelations, Vishnu Chakravarti has given us so many books. Raghunath Goswami's Bhajan Kutra also.
Were the main activities in the Bhajan Kutra writing?
Writing? Not necessarily. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. For example, we have another book. I have poems by Raghunath Das Goswami. Many of these things he wrote here at Radhakund. So one thing he wrote was this Vilapa Kusumanjali. And maybe the last thing he wrote. A lament in the form of a handful of flowers. So these are put into words his experiences while living at Radhakund of wanting to enter the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and that wanting was expressed with great pain of separation. And he would lie in the bank and cry tears and desire to be in the pastimes. And then sometimes he would enter the pastimes and feel fulfilled. And then sometimes he would come out of the pastimes. Sometimes he would be Raghunath Das Goswami. Sometimes he'd be Rati Manjari. So out of those experiences, from time to time he would write these verses. It's said that these verses are written with his tears. So it wasn't that they were written from the mind or the brain. He wasn't writing like an ordinary writer. He was actually experiencing these things, and then for the benefit of qualified people who would come later, and to express his heart and express his love, he wrote. Of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj's voluminous Chaitanya Charitamrita was also like that. So certainly there was writing, but it was a very extraordinary kind of writing. But Raghunath Goswami was also doing as I said. Maybe I can read some of these. The Bilapkasmanjali, it begins with some mixture of verses in the form of, actually opens up with an invocation by Rati Manjari to Rupa Manjari. And then, after three verses like that, then he begins speaking as Raghunath Goswami in his outer mood as a sadhak. And he offers obeisances to his spiritual masters and to Lord Chaitanya. And then, starting in verse 7, then he just speaks from there all the way to the end, one pastime after another that he wishes to enter. So he addresses himself as a Manjari to Srimati Radharani. Oh Devi, oh Swamini, may I perform this service for you? May I perform that service for you? May I come to your house in the morning and clean your drains? May I help dress you? May I go with you to the rendezvous with Krishna? O queen whose fair complexion scratches with its nails the pride of yellow turmeric, when, happily marking my arms with auspicious markings, embraced by red lac, will you give me the dear service of your lotus feet? O Devi, I shall never ask you for anything other than direct service to your lotus feet. I offer my respectful obeisances to your friendship. I offer my respectful obeisances to your friendship again and again. May I find your service as sweet as nectar. May I find your service as sweet as nectar. When will this maidservant brush your teeth with a twig, wash your lotus feet, and when you have entered another room, massage you with scented oil? O queen whose lotus face defeats the moon, when with jars of water scented with flowers and camphor and brought by one of your charming and affectionate friends, will I carefully bathe you? So she, Rati Manjari, is meditating on the service she has done before. And when she does this service, she also reminds Srimati Radharani of her pastimes with Krishna. This is Gopi Manjari. Gopi Manjari doesn't desire to be united with Krishna, but wants to serve Srimati Radharani in her relationship with Krishna. So these meditations are like that. And so with great generosity, he has shared these experiences with us. And we can understand, but we can read this, and we don't think, yes, I'm bathing Radharani, and I'm dressing Radharani, I'm a Gopi Manjari. We cannot, that would simply be imagination. Prabhupada writes in one purport, imagination leads to imagination, and that's all. But we can pray as we say, identify with, meaning empathize with, or worship the activities of Rati Manjari, and pray that in some future birth, many, many births, as you say, maybe we can expect it in this lifetime as Westerners to reach the perfection. At least we can start hearing about it. And if we hear about it, that's the beginning. So then this is how we can approach a book like this by Raghunath Goswami and at least understand this this inner meaning of Krishna consciousness movement, Lord Chaitanya's teachings, which is that one desires to serve Srimati Radharani, and that Srimati Radharani is the topmost worshipable deity, even more than Krishna. I'll read just the closing verses of this Vilapa Krishna Manjali. My queen, even a drop of the beauty of the tip of whose lotus toenail the goddess of fortune is not able to attain. If you do not give charity to my eyes, then what is the use of my life, ablaze with a great forest fire of sufferings? For me, somehow, the present moment is flooded by a nectar ocean of many hopes. I've explained some of the points. The worshipable deity is Radharani. The service is Gopi Manjari. And another crucial point is the service and separation. And this service and separation is felt with a great pain. But that pain is not like material pain. It is the highest form of Mahabhav ecstasy. And it's actually, it's not zero. It is being with Krishna by intense thinking of Krishna's pastimes. For me, somehow, the present moment is flooded by a nectar ocean of many hopes. If you do not give your mercy, then of what use to me are this life, the land of Braja, and Sri Krishna, the enemy of Bhaka? So she says that if I cannot attain service to you, Srimati Radharani, then what good is being in Vrindavan? We think Vrindavan is so valuable, but Vrindavan without Radharani, what is the use? And then he even says, what good is Sri Krishna to me? Because Krishna himself, without Radharani, or for the Gopi Manjari, Krishna without service to Radharani is not so attractive. O merciful one, if you will not give your great mercy to suffering me, then what is the use of all these words? What will my long service to your lake accomplish? What good is staying at Radhakund unless you can enter this mood? So it's such a sweet mood to not desire anything but to serve the best devotee, Srimati Radharani. Then you get everything that she gets. This is described in Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the Gopi Manjaris are like on a tulsi leaf, the Manjaris, or on any creeper that has leaves. And when you water the plant, the main blossom benefits and the leaves benefit. So similarly, when Srimati Radharani enjoys with Krishna, that's the way that the Gopi Manjaris enjoy, and they get every pleasure that she gets by serving her. But we can at least comprehend that this must require great purity to have so much happiness when your mistress gets happiness, rather than think, well, what about me? What's my direct happiness? But their direct happiness is to serve her and to bring her to Krishna. When they hear Krishna's flute, then they think, oh, now I'll bring Srimati Radharani to Krishna. And that's the meaning of this first verse of Vilapa Krishnamanjali, which is it's got a wrong translation here, but I have a corrected form. Swam Rupa Manjari Sakhi Patita Puresmin Pum Sak Parasya Varanam Nahi Pasyasiti Bimbadare Kshatam Anagata Vatrikaya Yatte Vidhayi Kimutach Chuka Pungavena. My dear friend Rupa Manjari, in the town of Braja, you are well known for your chastity. You don't even look at the faces of other men. It is therefore surprising that your lips, that are as beautiful as red bimba fruits, have been bitten, although your husband is not at home. Has this maybe been done by the best of parrots? So usually the first verse is an invocation, and it's done with great respect. So here, Rati Manjari is making an invocatory verse to Rupa Goswami, but the mood is not with awe and reverence. It's like a joke or a teasing verse, which shows the nature of the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master in Raganuga when they are both in their Sakhi forms. So, and this also brings out the position of the Manjari. She's saying, Rupa Manjari, you are married, but now your husband is not here, but you have the signs on you of being with another man. How did this happen, that you have your lips have been bitten? Was it a great parrot that bit them? So the parrot is Krishna. But how could Rupa Manjari have a sign of being with Krishna if she's a Manjari? The answer is that when Radharani receives these signs from her playing with Krishna, it appears actually on the bodies of the Gopi Manjaris. And this is how she addresses her senior, Sakhi. And then she says, Stala kamalini yuktam garvita kananesmin pranayasi barahasyam pushpa guchat chalena apinikila latastak sarabaktak samunchan mrigayati tava margam krishna bringo yad adya. O lotus tree, she's speaking to Rupa Manjari like that you're the lotus tree. O lotus tree, on the pretext of this new bunch, on the pretext of this bunch of new blossoms, you are now broadly smiling in this forest. You have every right to be proud. After all, the black Krishna bee has left all the fragrant flower vines and he is now searching for the pathway to you. So literally the meaning is that you should be proud because Krishna is leaving all the gopis for you. But is this true that Krishna is going to Rupa Manjari? No, he's going to Srimati Radharani. And this is a victory of Rati Manjari and all the Manjaris. So they're none different than Srimati Radharani. And these things, they're not really expressed even in Srimad Bhagavatam, they're only hinted at, but they're in the hearts of the Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavas like Vishwanath Chakravarti, with causeless generosity, have revealed these things, and Raghunath Goswami has revealed these things. To those who are qualified, or to those who are just very fortunate to take these drops of mercy and not misuse them, keep them in their hearts, they're not part of our preaching activity. But because we come to Radha Kund, we can speak some of these things. And just, you can read them and inquire to understand them. But they are private feelings and understandings. So, let's go on. I have one more discussion to read from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Maybe we can do that at that place where we ask forgiveness for our aparads that we committed while here. If any thought came, well, I'll talk about that when we get there. Obeisances, and try to think of any offenses we committed. Of course, the worst offense is Vaishnava aparad. Think any bad about devotees. And the devotee, we're not likely to think bad thing about Raghunath Goswami, but about some god brother or god sister. So in our prayers, we have to not only think of the exalted devotees, but as our, quote, favorite devotees, the ones that we have problems with, and ask that forgiveness for thinking bad of them, and or even pray that they can remove the anarthas that we see they have. So these are the kind of prayers we can make, not only for offenses that we may have committed in these relatively few hours. So anyway, we made obeisances like that, and then we're about to leave, and then Giriraj Maharaj thought of something in his mind, just gravely went back again and did it again. we all kind of laughed. It was like within those few minutes he had another bad thought or something. So we may have to continue to do this, but not be a nonsense who asks forgiveness and then does bad things again. But it's inevitable that we have to. He's reading Jiva Goswami's commentaries and said that Jiva Goswami said there's nothing material that has the power that it could take us out of devotional service. Oh, you want to leave a space so that they can... Nothing material can drag us away from bhakti. So then why does somebody leave? It's due to aparads. Well, he was saying how if you commit aparad, we should go to the person and ask for forgiveness, the person whom we think we may have committed aparad. So that's best. But the attitude is the important thing. And even if we don't go to that person, the attitude of remorse for offenses is important. And remorse in general that we don't practice devotional service. There's some nice statements by Narottam Das Thakur about, he said, not even for a minute or half a moment have I worshipped Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Goswami, all these great, and I have not chanted the holy name or worshipped Radha Krishna. My life is useless. The poems of Krishnadas Kaviraj, like Govinda Lilamrita and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they can melt even the stones, but my heart has not been melted by hearing them. So to feel remorse that we don't have soft heart is a start. If we don't even have remorse about it, then we'll remain on this hard-hearted platform, and everything will just go by us, over our heads, or past us, and we won't be able to appreciate Krishna consciousness and develop the desire to have the real Vaishnava sentiments and bhavas. This should be our position. Being unable to practice, actually, we should at least be sorry about that. At the same time, we hear these elevated and nectarian pastimes and descriptions, because they also, it's like you work from the bottom and you work from the top. The bottom is like seeing who we actually are, how fallen we are, what nonsense we are, we can't control our minds, and trying to approach devotees we've offended and trying to be better devotees, working on individual anarthas we have, self-realization work. And then, that's our endeavor, but then to hear the pastime realization work, and then that's our endeavor, but then to hear the pastimes of Krishna and hear about Gopi Bhav, Raja Leela, and so on, this would purify us and start to develop some attraction. So in that mood, this will be the last thing we'll be speaking from. It's Siddha Lalasi by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He tells, it's like the history of a devotee up to the stage of entering the stage of Gopamanjari here in Vrindavan. So he's hoping that the day will come when he'll leave his gross material body behind, forget everything. Sometimes we can't even forget the things that happen in this lifetime, or we never can. But he wants to forget all the lifetimes and just gain his spiritual identity. And then in the next birth, he will take birth in Braja as a cowherd girl in the Gopi family. He'll be a cowherd girl in Braja. And then he'll get his eternal spiritual body. We'll desire to be a gopi in Krishna's pastimes. So this will only come after many, many lifetimes of perfection. But still, he's saying, or she is saying, there's not yet any direct service. He finds the association of some other devotees, specifically Balasa Manjari and Ananga Manjari, come and see this gopi, and they say, come on, Saki. From now on, you will now be one of the attendants of Sri Lalita Saki. Give up everything else, give up your household, and come with us. So you need to have the association of devotees at every stage, and even in the final stage. So she goes with them, and they give her a little cottage to live right here at Radhakund. Chintamani moi Radhakund tat tahi kunja shacha shak prabala vidruma moi tarulata muktapale avanata. The banks of Radhakund are made of billions of conscious, ecstatic, desire-filling touchstones, and surrounding the lakes are hundreds and hundreds of beautiful gardens and groves. All the trees and creepers in those gardens are made of coral and rubies, and the fruits they produce are diamonds and pearls. Indeed, their branches are bending down to the ground due to the weight of so many lovely gemstone fruits. Passages like this are sometimes confusing, for they're packed with so much opulence or aishvarya, which we think Braja is not like that, that there are gems and pearls and rubies. But these descriptions are really for persons who are attracted to those things. If you want to describe in poetic language the most valuable thing, then you talk of golden roofs and the trees are full of jewels, and then someone who has aishvarya mood will think, oh, that must be the glorious, not ordinary trees, but trees with pearls and rubies. That's the kingdom of God. But actually, they're as good as that, but they're better than that. And the Vrajavasis, they desire not trees that are packed with rubies and crystals, but actually blossoming and aromatic flowers that they take and offer to Krishna. My small cottage is beautifully shining within the most enchanting garden called Svananda Sukhada Kunj. Living there, I will sing Krishna's holy names and will greedily hanker for that time when I get to personally serve him and his beloved. So it's like she's in the final training stages, or just waiting to be invited to service. Then one day she says, I hear the music of Krishna's flute and I become wildly excited and I'm spellbound. The low, deep tone of his long Murali flute will call out, Radhe, Radhe, the very name of my own worshipable queen. Startled with wonder by hearing such a sound, she jumps up and she doesn't know what to do. So then this kind of experience goes on for some time. And then one day Rupa Manjari comes to the cottage of the gopi is being described, and she says, what are you doing sitting here? Come outside and look. Just see who is coming. The divine couple will now perform their splendorous, unparalleled, transcendental meeting, and today you will be one of the maidservants at their lotus feet. I heard Prabhupada lecturing on a tape today, and he was saying how this stage will come when you will talk with Krishna, just as we are talking face to face. And then he's described how great devotees talk with their deities. Like Sanatana Goswami talked with his deities, and Sakshi Gopal. So it's inconceivable how it will happen or what the purity will be like, but here we get some indication that just as Radha and Krishna are having their pastimes somewhere, it's possible that they may come your way when you become qualified. And then Rupa Manjari will come to you and say, come outside and look, see who's coming. The real treasure of the gopis of Braja is their Svarasiki city, the eternal perfection of the personal mellow they each express. And these individual moods are transcendentally fickle and supremely chaste. In contrast, the meditations of the yogis are empty. If I could see them personally performing their midday pastimes there at Radha Kund, I would be very much desirous of serving the lotus feet of Sri Radha. And whenever I get an opportunity to render some small service, I will perform that act with the greatest care and attention, and will thus become rich with the divine treasure of her holy feet. When will Sri Rupa Manjari speak to me with such sweet words in a solitary place, vividly explaining the transcendental glories of Sri Radha Kund? Sri Rupa Manjari Kabe Madhura Bachan Radha Kunda Mahima Barni Be Samog Samgopani. Then Rupa Goswami quotes some verses about the glories of Radha Kund. As I listen to Sri Rupa Manjari thus describing the glories of this sacred Radha Kund, I will become seized with an eager yearning that I will swoon and fall down on the spot. When will I ever become intensely eager to serve the lotus feet of a Sakhi? When will my service attitude make her so obliged that she will mercifully bestow upon me my situation in my own eternal mellow? Sakir Charane Kabe Koribo Akuti Sakhi Kripa Kori Dibe Sva Rasiki Stiti. And then she goes on to describe the details of her name, her age, her residence, her service. These things all have to be known to enter your rasa. You have some activity. Just like now, I belong to the New York temple, I'm a pujari, I'm a certain age, and I'm a male, and so on. So in the spiritual world, one knows all these things. But these things cannot be in the sadhak stage. We can't just imagine what they are, or somebody can't tell us. And then, so she tells about that, what her name is, and how she's within the group of Lalita, and Radha is the leader of the group, and so on. And then her eternal life is established. All my associate Sakis are my supreme well-wishers. They're my best friends. They're my teachers of lessons in conjugal love. So there's not only you get to serve Radharani and Krishna, but you get one best friends. By following them loyally, I will serve the lotus feet of Radha, which are like desire-fulfilling trees. I am forever given to remaining in the group exclusively devoted to Sri Radhika. Radha Pakshachari Jai Jana Se Jana Se Bhave Take Ame Tu Radhika Pakshapati Sada Kabu Nahi Here Take. I am forever given to remaining in the group exclusively devoted to Sri Radhika. I will never even look upon those persons who have abandoned her entourage, whomever they may be, and whatever mood they entertain. O Vilasa Manjari, O Ananga Manjari, O Rupamanjari, kindly lift me up and bring me close to your own lotus feet. Please bestow upon me the quintessence of eternal perfection. So that's the perfection desired by the devotee. Now we have to take stock of where we actually are. And then I was going to say there may be, but there are so many anarthas. Our realization, someone says, what is your realization? You may say, my realization is that I have many, many anarthas. And that's in itself is a significant realization. So knowing that we have many anarthas, this is a particular place at Radhakund. Radhakund is for savoring and relishing. But here, it's more connected in a sense with the service. That we go out from Radhakund, we cannot live here. So now we go back to our activities.